Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Isaac Rob.
You've been busted. You lost your qualifications as section leader 3 times.
Jason Sukanik.
You're lucky to be here.
Your family name ain't the best in the Navy. I'd like to bust your butt, but I can't. I got another problem here.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk. This sounds very serious. They are not.
I gotta give you your dream shot. I'm gonna send you up against the best. You two characters are going to...
Primetime on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
You guys are number one.
The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
This is all so strange.
I know.
Oh, I got new Top Gun opens.
Yeah, I like
We're
that.
We're number one?
This is Danger Zone, right?
This is Danger Zone. We are going to the Danger Zone.
Yes.
Dude, Kenny Loggins, let's go. We're on the FM. We have new opens. The new voice guy, that's throwing me for a loop.
Yeah, the new voice guy.
I'm not going to lie. That's probably been my biggest, I'm going to have to make the biggest adjustment. Because, of course, I was listening to my favorite morning show, Dirt and Sprague. And when we made the flip, the new voice guy, while he is fantastic, it's just, it's different. I've yet to adjust.
You know what it is? It's fresh.
It is fresh.
It's fresh.
Everything,
it's hot.
Everything has to be new.
That's right.
New and exciting.
Although yeah,
that's more of a Love Boat thing. Exciting and new.
Welcome to our show.
Yeah.
We are Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Yeah.
Some call me Asachi.
Mm. It's a brand.
And then Souk is right over there. Big Souk.
Yeah. So all
they call him Big Souk.
All you ladies. Although, like, when you meet me in person, you'll be like, oh, it's not that big. And then you'll be disappointed. Or you'll tell me that your brother's bigger than me and that. Cool. All right. But to all those people that are tuning in to hear Katy Perry or whatever, I don't know, welcome. Let's come on board. Give us a crack.
Well, for those of you, yeah, I mean, I'm sure by now, Bella people have figured out that Bella is gone.
I would think so.
And
welcome to the fella.
Donkeys have taken over.
Yeah.
To you, I don't say welcome. I say I'm very sorry.
That is true. We start my 12-part apology with this. Look.
We're like a fungus.
Yeah.
Will grow on you,
yeah,
and you kind of can't really get rid of it.
No, just give us time.
Yeah, it's just like, just because this is a sports station doesn't mean you won't like it.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should give it a chance. And you know what? We love our football here. We don't take ourselves too seriously, except for, of course, me.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, being a noted newsman,
yeah,
I mean, you have
I'm a
to.
Very serious sportsman.
Yes.
But, you know, we our philosophy here is we're going to have fun, and if we're having fun, maybe you will too. Okay?
Yeah, come on board.
Okay.
Come on, everybody.
Right. So this is the last show of the broadcast day on the Fan Radio Network, 105.1 The Fan. This is our first day on FM.
We're batting cleanup right now.
It's amazing. We're going to go till 7 o'clock tonight, and that's about all you're going to get from us. As an intro.
Hmm.
Other than that, we're just going to proceed to do what some might mistake for content.
Proceed to do whatever it is we've been doing for the last
20 years. My little love bunnies, we have been on for almost 20 years. This radio
bunnies, meow.
So this station, this radio station right here that you're listening to, some of you, it may be new to you since we've moved to the FM here, but it started in 1990. I think it was on like 1520 or something.
Yeah, it was 1520.
910.
1520 to 910 to 1080 to 1051, as you can see in the wonderful little, the TV behind you.
So 35 years, this has been the longest running continuous all sports radio station on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very big deal, and it's had a lot of great talent come through. You and I, this show that you're listening to now, we've been on since September of 2025, which is long for this business. And again, the only thing I can do is just apologize that we have come into your lives. I'm very sorry.
Nothing we can do about that.
Here's the thing. We, right on brand, when we flipped from AM to FM, you know, it's a very big technical thing, you know.
There was a man, I guess, in Chicago that literally was sitting there with like a big comic lever. You know, like in the movies, like in Batman, everything's labeled. There was actually a lever, like a switch lever that had to be flipped. Like,
do you want to hear the audio? We have the audio.
Yeah.
And I want to play it for you, but I have to set it up. Because Swigard, Jason Swigard, the lovable, the affable Jason Swigard, who is one of the longer standing personalities here at The Fan.
Yeah.
He is the producer for Dirt and Sprague, who run 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So because he was the first guy in the big chair, in the captain's chair over there, where Ryan Buckley sits. Hi, Buck. How are you today?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
Nice to see you. It's been a busy couple of days for you, right?
Yeah. I was here until almost midnight last night.
Yeah, doing imaging and stuff?
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
I think Swag may not have gone home.
Swag was here until probably 9-ish, 9:30, something like that.
Okay, and yeah. then was back at
back
like
at
4
six.
In the morning? Yeah. No, they were back
at
4.
Oh, yeah, he was back before. Yeah. They were on at 6. Yeah. He was back well before that. Yeah.
So at 6, right when we flipped everything over, you know, engineers and switches and beams and pyrotechnics, you know?
Sure.
Swigard, because he's the first one in the captain's chair, he's the one that has to actually push the button to switch it.
Yes.
So Dusty, so I'm going to preview this audio by telling you that our new brand manager, Dusty, is in there on computer talking to the guy in Chicago.
Ready to flip the switch.
That's right. And so there's two guys. The one in Chicago needs to do it on his end, and Swigard needs to do it here.
Think about in all the movies when someone launches a nuke. You got to turn both keys at the same time in order to fire this off.
So Dusty clearly tells him, Swigard, he says, Swag, I am going to tell the guy in Chicago, go.
Mm-hmm.
For you, I am going to point.
Because he's in the studio. He doesn't want it like on the air being like, go, 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 go. So it's pretty simple. Go, point.
This is kind of cool audio, actually. One, it's just a big day for the fan.
Yeah.
In the history of the fan, but two, it kind of sounds like NASA.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, right at the end, the guy, well, I won't spoil it. You'll hear it. But I'm going to play it now, and I want you to guess why. I want you to guess why there is just nothing happens for about 10 seconds.
Well, and we did say, because we talked to everybody yesterday when we left, we said, what are the chances that this goes without a hiccup at 6 o'clock?
And I said zero.
Yeah. I put it more like
zero.
I went 50-50.
Oh, 50-50, my patoot.
An Odyssey station.
You knew damn well something was going to go wrong, and it was going to happen right off the bat. It's our mojo. It's how we do it.
And it did.
It's been going on since the beginning of time.
Yeah, it has.
So this was the most predictable thing ever, and here is how it sounded. This is the actual moment that we are flipping from 1080 to 105.1.
Is KFXX to WJJ HD2
3, 2, 1, go.
All right, that's the Chicago guy.
Okay, I hit apply. I'm refreshing.
Refreshing.
Audio source took. I'm going to listen.
Since 1990, KFXX AM has been the home of Portland's all sports media.
There's silence.
Why do you think that is?
It does have a NASA quality.
There it is. KFXX on KRSK.
Hell yeah, fellas.
There you go. KFXX is now on KRSK.
Yes.
And Dusty goes, hell yeah,
hell
fellas.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. But if you didn't catch it, he goes, go to the Chicago guy. And he's pointing at Swigard. And nothing, the guy's like, I can't hear it. It's because Swigard froze. What is he doing?
I think he panicked.
What do you mean panicked? All you have to do is turn and push the button.
Hey, were you in charge of pushing the button? You don't know what sort of pressure Swigard was under. Swag, I defend you.
Fantastic.
At the moment of action, it's like when you're in combat for the first time. You don't know what's going to happen when a bullet starts going over your head.
Dude.
He froze.
And
froze.
Then if you want to see the video, they posted a video of all what we just played on the fan Twitter.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, you got to watch it. Because when Dusty is pointing at him over and over, Swigard really does. There isn't a moment where he goes, oh, and then pushes it really fast.
No.
He slow burns the whole way.
Hell.
It's unbelievable. What is that man thinking?
There is like a slow motion turn. You're like, ooh. Maybe in that moment he realized that he screwed up, and then like you're trying to move fast, but it's quick sense. You're like, ooh, no. How push God. What's 10 seconds here
you
or
know
there?
What? You know? It's a better story. That's how it all went down. And we are now live on 105.1 The Fan. Yes, the Fan Radio Network. Yeah.
It is so good, just the look on Swag's face. It's fantastic. It's the same look that Buck had yesterday when he realized that the microphone that Dusty was on, there was no microphone. It was just an empty stand. There's something about producers and that look of panic of I don't know what to do. I love it. It warms my heart.
Well, we're excited. Now, I know a lot of people that listen to Bella maybe aren't, and we sympathize with you because I was a P1 of Bella myself.
Yeah. Well, I told you it was on at the gym.
Yeah.
If I ever forgot my headphones.
I tell you who's pissed.
You know, there was Bella.
My daughter-in-law is fuming.
Yeah, someone was driving in the car yesterday when we made the announcement and said that their 8-year-old was not happy and said that she hates Isaac and Sue, which... You know, I responded with, tell her that Sue's a real bitch. And yet, here we are. There's nothing we can do about that.
Sorry.
You're going to make an omelet, some eggs are going to get broken. And unfortunately for Bella, you got cracked.
So I don't remember what social media account they told me this was on. I think it was on Bella's.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bella had to go out there and be like, hey, sorry, fans, we've been killed.
Yes.
Sports guys killed us. Yeah. And we feel terrible about that.
We didn't want to.
Well, we did kind of, actually.
No, but, we didn't want to. We had to.
Yeah, we had no choice.
We had no choice.
Anyway, some old Karen on there was like, what happened to Bella? And the fan, I love the fan P1s because
apparently they've invaded all of the social media.
They are infiltrating
channels.
Social media all over town, which is great with nothing but drops of us.
Yeah.
And the woman says, what happened to Bella? Where's my Bella? And all this P1 responded to her with was...
Sports is sports.
Sports is sports.
If there's one thing we've figured out all these years that cannot be debated, it is that sports is sports.
Sports is... That's right.
So next time your daughter or your wife is upset about what happened to Bella, you just hit them with a, hey, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, sugar tease. Sports is sports. I mean, that would be more of the wife, not the kid, because then that would be very awkward.
All right. Well, listen, let's start our show. You know what? We're not going to start with sports today because a legend has passed.
Yeah, this one hit for me a little bit.
Yeah, it hit for a lot of people, I think,
I didn't like this one.
Yeah, well, people die sometimes.
Yeah.
And in this case...
Well, Bella and now this.
By the way, on the same day.
Is there anything further from each other? If you wanted bookends, like the universe balancing itself out, Bella and this man dying...
Well, do you think... Is it possible that Ozzy... let go because Bella was no more?
It's possible. Again, the cosmic balance, if you believe in that sort of thing, like a yin and yang, Bella had to go, and then therefore, like, Ozzy had to go at the same time to make sure everything remained balanced.
And for those asking, no, 1080 does not go away.
No.
That's why we're calling it the Fan Radio Network.
Yes.
Because you have 105.1 1080 simulcast. And we also have AM 910 for some cool sports. So, we're taking over. All right, Lars?
The sports network.
Buckle up, Lars.
The Fan Sports Network is here. Deal with it.
We'll talk about Ozzy Osbourne. He has passed at the age of 76. We'll kick it off there next on 105.1 The Fan. You know, some of the things you're going to get here on the Fan Global Radio Network are things like that, where you have Kevin Love speaking so eloquently to you about your mind and relaxing your mind, and then we throw Bark at the Moon at you.
Well, I kind of want the people that tuned in to Bella, we should just play Aussie music all day.
We might.
You know, just to, you know, see what happens there. Because, again, the juxtaposition of whatever the hell was on Bella versus Aussie, a little bit of a curveball there. A little 12-6, buckle you at the knees if you're not paying attention.
Well, our main dog, Ozzy, died today, guys.
Yeah.
He was 76. And boy, you know, you want to talk about a guy who did not take care of his mind?
Yeah.
But making it to... Like,
That's a great achievement. Look, Ozzy
talk about hitting the over.
Ozzy should have been dead like in 1986. Well,
yeah. How many people who had him in a death pool lost money since like 1980?
Yeah, big money. I mean, he is the little engine that could, and he just kept going. So the fact that he made it to 76, and 76 isn't that old. I've always said if you get to like 85, then it's no longer sad. You've won the race. But sometimes those last handful of years aren't the best. But I'll take 76 Ozzy years. I mean, that son of a gun. You want to talk about all gas, no brake. I give you Ozzy Osbourne. That man lived. No one's going to be like, man, 76 years and he cheated himself.
To some people, living isn't doing massive quantities of drugs and drinking. But I get what you're saying. Like, would you trade? I would give you his 76 years. You're taking that?
I'm taking.
You have to be wasted like he was.
I'm taking 76 Ozzy.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
He's
the Prince of Darkness. If you like,
he was a mess.
When this is all said and done, right? No one remembers crap. We all die and we fade away. It is what it is. But when you talk about the stupid Mount Rushmore, there is only one man.
Mount Rushmore of what?
The metal. When you're talking about metal, there is only one. There is a godfather that will never be supplanted. There was one and there will always be one and no one will ever come along. And I'm a Metallica guy through and through, right? I have a Metallica tattoo, for God's sakes. They're my favorite band of all time. But I don't care if you want to go Judas Priest. I don't care if you want to go Metallica. I don't care if you want to go with Motorhead. No, it all comes back to one. Dude, Black Sabbath and Ozzy.
I get it. But you're saying you want those 76 years, dude? Those were some hard years. That's the fun thing about Ozzy. It's like,
but those are fun years.
He was greatness. Well, were they? I mean, he was greatness.
Yeah.
And yes, like all the money and the accolades and the fame and making music and biting heads off of bats and all that. But dude,
peeing on the Alamo.
There was no bigger mess.
I don't care.
Oh, he peed on the Alamo. Yeah, did you hear that? You know that story?
Absolutely.
So the story about that is that he was down doing a show down there, and he pulled an all-nighter because he was on drugs and drank all the time, and he was housed, and Sharon, his wife, took his clothes from him so that he couldn't go out.
Yeah.
So he took one of her dresses, put it on.
This is 1982, by the way.
Yeah, this is way back.
Yeah, way back when.
And he, back in the olden days, as the kids would say. I was 7 at the time. What were you, 4? What year were you born?
Yeah, I was 4.
And so he wears one of Sharon's dresses and he rolls out. Now, he didn't pee on the Alamo.
No.
He peed on, I think it's like a statue across the street or something.
Yeah.
But Alamo, it was in the Alamo.
Alamo adjacent.
Yeah, he was in the area. And he drops, I guess he lifts skirt and pees. And then he got arrested.
Yeah.
And so they throw him in the slammer.
$40.
And yeah, he gets bailed out for 40. And he was able to play that night because he sobered up in the slammer.
And you have the nerve to ask me if I want 76 Ozzy Osbourne years?
I don't think I want that.
Hell yeah.
Dude, and then on the Osbourne show, like, that was just sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. He was I mean, come on, that was bad, dude. Yeah. You got to admit. Everybody thought he was like sick. He was just drunk.
He's just drunk. Yeah. That was a little rough. And that's the part that bothers me. Again, as a metal guy, I don't like that a lot of younger people, their view of Ozzy was that buffoon. Not only was Ozzy the god of metal, but dude, look at what he wrote. Like he was part of the greatest metal band of all time. And look at what they did. Dude, that man was a musical genius. And reinvented himself time after time after time. So it's not just the fact that he was, I don't know, this icon. I think when you become that much of an icon and you become that famous, I think sometimes we forget how truly talented he was. And you remember the slurring and all that. Listen to him sing. Go listen to Mom, I'm Coming Home or No More Tears or whatever.
Amazing.
Like, and that was after that man had like 4 separate careers and kept coming back despite the alcoholism and the drugs and everything else.
Well, he had Parkinson's too.
Yeah.
They played just the other night. Did you see much of that concert?
Well, so my friend, my Metallica guy, he got to go over and be a part of that because Metallica played. So you could buy a stream and it was good for 48 hours. I think I watched that thing about three times and I was texting him during the show and he was sending me photos of it. While it was going on, and this was over in England, it was the Sabbath reunion farewell, and everyone that was in metal was there. And I was asking him, I was like, dude, like, what is this like? And he said, it's unbelievable. He said, it's kind of sad because Ozzy, because of Parkinson, he was in a throne. He couldn't stand. And obviously the performance was a little rough, but he said there wasn't a dry eye in the house by the time they were done playing their set.
It was awesome.
And he went out there and literally, like, that was it. Like,
well, he only played a couple, right?
Yeah.
I thought other bands played their music. Yeah. And they did it all for free.
Yes.
Just because they love Black Sabbath.
Well, it was charity, and it went to a couple different hospitals, and then it went to Parkinson's research.
If you haven't seen it, I haven't seen all of it, but yeah. I've seen some bands that played there. Dude, it was really good.
Yes.
Like, that was now that's how you go out.
And that's my point. It's like, he died, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago?
He did?
Yeah.
He died today.
No. The show was only like a couple weeks ago. Like,
yeah, you just said he died 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry. The show was a couple weeks ago and then he died today.
Yeah.
I mean, that is literally...
That's how you want to go?
For someone like Ozzy, that the only other thing that could have been better is Ozzy dying on stage and just being like, you know what, one last time, flick the lighter and down he goes, but... I just, for a man like that, this is the way it should have went. And I went back and just was looking at the thread with my buddy that I was texting, and I just can't get over him just saying, dude, I'm telling you, not a dry eye in the house. Everyone in that crowd was crying, and everyone on stage, all these hardcore metal guys that have been in the music industry. My buddy has been in the music industry for damn near, 40 years. And to say that he was crying backstage watching that lets you know that will be one of those nights, kind of like Live Aid and like Freddie when they stole the show Queen. That Ozzy Sabbath kind of farewell, that will go down in rock history. And it only is magnified by the fact that a couple weeks later, Ozzy checks out and goes and plays a show wherever it is that Ozzy's going to go.
He's one of those guys that you wonder, because, you know, what are they? Is like the 28 Club or whatever?
Yeah.
They all,
I think,
died.
It's 27.
Is it 27?
I think it's 27.
That was like with Hendrix
and Joplin and Kurt. And I think it's 27. Jim Morrison's in that.
Yeah. So he's one of those that if he went, maybe not 27, but if he went at 35 or 40 or even 49, even pre-50, I think we'd be talking about him way different.
Yeah.
In other words, I think his lore might even be greater. But because he made it all the way to 76 and people did see the kind of the, you know, I mean, it wasn't a great look for him on that reality show. No. A lot of people knew him only from that.
Well, and his daughter, one of his daughters refused to be on it because she was like, this is like elder abuse. Right. So I'm not doing this.
So you just want, I don't know. I just wonder how we'd be talking about him if he'd checked out early, because most people expected him to, but he didn't.
No. Go watch and they're out there now. And if you, I want to say it cost me like $20, I think, to get a 48-hour stream of the Sabbath farewell show, but go find the clip. And I think there's a full length one out there. It's bouncing around. Go find the full clip of Mama, I'm Coming Home, of that final farewell show. And if you don't cry, if you don't get a little tear, you're kind of check your feelings, 'cause you're a little dead inside.
Well, I can assure you that when I was a youth, and I'm 50 now, my olds, the olds of my youth.
Yeah.
They thought this guy was demonic.
Yes.
Like that whole thing with him biting the the head off a bat.
But as a little kid, that was one of the reasons why I loved Ozzy. Because we grew up in that weird era where we were told that metal music was Satan and the devil. And, you know, I try to tell my kids this, like, there was like a big push to like get that music banned. And for a chubby little kid in the Pacific Northwest, dude, that was like, that made it all the more appealing to me. That kind of, I don't know, that genre of music.
So he did bite the head off of a bat, but it wasn't, like, for those that don't know, I mean, that story is real.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it, He thought it was a toy.
Thought it was a toy.
He thought it was a rubber bat that somebody threw on stage, and it wasn't. It was a real freaking bat. So he bit the head off of it, and I guess I don't know what happened, but apparently he sought treatment for rabies.
Like, yeah, he had to go and get some shots.
And he's like, "Oh, that's not rubber."
Whoops. Just
even a little much for Ozzy. My favorite's Crazy Train, but I'm not a. I mean, I was never really, you know, they were a little before my time.
Yeah,
Sabbath, and I wasn't into metal at the time, but. Crazy, you know, like his solo career and stuff, like Mama, I'm Coming Home, you mentioned, and Crazy Train, iconic.
Yeah.
Absolutely iconic.
Well, and like if you want to go with the best, Paranoid and War Pigs are probably, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's the Sabbath stuff.
I also remember Iron Man Sabbath?
Yeah, Iron Man was Sabbath.
So I associate that with Hawk and Animal.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't they come out to that?
Yep.
Well, the wrestlers?
Dude, Iron Man has been used in everything.
But wasn't it Hawk and Animal?
Yeah. Yeah, the Road Warriors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'd come out to Iron Man. That's the only way I know.
I am Iron Man. Da, na, 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 na. I mean, it's just, it's hit after hit. You know, whatever. And Mr. Crowley, I mean, I can go on and on. I just, he's an all-timer for me. And this one was, it was sad, but the fact that I had just watched that concert and when you saw it, it felt like that was goodbye. How many people get to have a appropriate goodbye to where it was sad, but at the same time, I don't know, I was kind of happy. I kind of was like, that's the way it should have gone down. So today was a weird bittersweet day as guys that were like kind of my heroes, as you get older, they start dying. It makes you feel old and you're facing your own kind of mortality because these are the people that I grew up with and grew up kind of worshiping. But, This was an appropriate tip of the cap.
All right, rest in peace, Ozzy Osbourne. Dead at the age of 76. Complications from Parkinson's. Although we don't.
Well, how about this? Complications from being Ozzy freaking Osbourne. How about that?
All right, coming up next, all the questions at Big Ten Media Day. But first, here's Buckley with SportsCenter on 105.1. The Fan.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This is my favorite of the solo. Awesome.
An anthem.
Because the Sabbath stuff, it's like two separate entities, but this is quintessential to me. Even though it's not metal, it's a ballad. This is quintessential solo Ozzy. And then, of course, probably Crazy Train solo Ozzy was, you know, the one that I think most people will grab.
Fan text line 503-864-6326. Text says, Fish plays tonight. Guaranteed they do a tribute song, probably Iron Man.
Yeah.
I'll report back tomorrow. Are they playing here? Are they at the...
I don't know.
They at Moda?
I'm not a Fish guy.
Don't they play bigger venues than Moda?
Oh,
aren't they out the gorge maybe or something?
They play festivals and stuff, but you know, I'm sure the Moda Center would fit them. I'll take a look. See what they're see where they're playing. I've never seen Fish. I can't say that I would jump all over that.
Now they're in New York, it says.
Maybe someone's in New York. I don't know.
Yeah, we are global now.
Yeah, I mean, on the Fan Global Sports Network, whatever the hell we're calling that thing.
Well, today began Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah.
Out there, and they're in Vegas.
Yeah, we can.
Which is weird.
Yeah, well, I mean.
I don't know why they're in Vegas.
Why not?
Which
would you rather go to? Would you rather go to Indianapolis, or would you rather go to Vegas?
I would rather go to Vegas. It's not even close. But for the Big Ten, they've had a lot of success going to Chicago and Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that they're making all of the Midwest schools travel out west. But here we are.
Yeah. Hop, skip, and a jump for Oregon, SC, and UW. and we can start the no one believes in us Oregon train. I guarantee you, because they finished third in the media poll, I think two first place votes, guarantee Dan Lanning is already whipping up his little team out west that no one believes in.
Well, as he should. I mean, you got to motivate somehow, right?
I guess.
They thought last year was a fluke.
All those five-star kids all pampered and spoiled. You got to...
Your sweet blue chip ratio.
Right? You can't be like the fourth most successful team of the last 25 years and be like, man, no one believes in us. We're the little engine that could. We're the $1 billion of Nike.
We're the new kid on the block. Look out for us.
I would say that if he does play that card, he does have a... I mean, there is a path to that being true. I mean,
what?
Well, there is.
They were the number one team in the country last year.
A lot of the country does not think Oregon can win a championship. And you know this. You
like,
know.
Period.
Period.
Ever, maybe.
They are like, oh, dude, they're good, but when they get up against the big boy, Ohio State just kicked the crap out of them by like 500 points.
They beat Ohio State twice. They played them twice in the regular season, and they beat them twice.
When Washington goes and loses in the championship game to Michigan,
it's true.
And when Oregon the very next year is the number one team and loses by 30 to Ohio State, dude, that's all some people see. And you know as well as I do that these West Coast teams, and USC even has some of this now, where a lot of the country does not believe in them, and so if he does play that card, he might be right.
There is the donkey quarterback from Vanderbilt whose name I don't even remember.
Diego Pavia.
Yeah, Diego. One of the, I believe he's the fourth tenor. Congratulations. That jackass tried to claim that the Big Ten, remember, he's like, you want to play in the big boys, you come down here, you'll mess around with the crappy Big Ten. And someone was like, dude, they've won the last two national championships, Michigan and Ohio State. Well, whatever, man.
I'd like to see them come down here and make it through a 12-game or an 8-game schedule. Yeah, okay, buddy.
And by the way, apparently that was a big pissing contest today at Big Ten Media Day, was everyone taking shots at the SEC.
Why?
Scheduling. So, there's the whole...
Signetti said they wanted to go the SEC route on their schedule when asked about their softer non-conference.
So, they pulled out of a... Indiana pulled out of... Was it Virginia?
Or was it Virginia Tech?
One of those.
Something like that.
Not exactly a... like a gauntlet of schedules, but they pulled out of a game against...
Like a Power 5 school that wasn't great.
Wait, what? We're not going to get Indiana, Virginia?
Oh, I know. What are we going to do?
What the hell?
So, they pulled out of that. And by the way, their next... 4 years, they do not have a single non-conference game against a Power 4 opponent.
Who, Indiana?
Indiana.
So, are you serious?
No, they do not.
He was the James Madison coach, right? So he knows the art of not taking losses in your preseason schedule.
So Indiana is playing nobody. And someone asked him, they're like, dude, like, because Indiana got some flack last year in that they didn't really play anyone. And when they did, they lost. And they lost
Virginia, by the way.
Yeah, Virginia.
Not great.
Yeah, like, I mean, really, you afraid of Virginia, for God's sakes? And he said, hey, we are taking the approach of an SEC schedule. Because, you know, the SEC plays 8 conference games. They don't play the 9. And so he said, we're going to focus on our conference. We're not going to play non-conference. And we're going to do it like the SEC does it. Clearly, shots fired at the SEC. Well, someone retorted to that and said, actually, if you look at it, 9 of the top 10 strength of schedules for this coming year, and now granted, this is based on last year's results, but 9 of the top 10 toughest schedules, would you care to guess?
SEC.
SEC. So you kind of look like a jackass when you're up there trying to take shots, but the Big Ten basically is saying, hey, man, if you aren't going to play 9 conference games, F you. And to some extent, they are right. Dave Bartu has talked about this forever.
So the Big Ten plays 9.
Yes.
And the SEC plays 8.
Everyone plays 9, but the SEC.
And they always have that UT Chattanooga or the Austin Peay or somebody in the middle of November where you're like, wow, that's another bye week.
So the SEC wants to keep it that way because that 9th game, like Buck said, they use as a cupcake.
Yes.
And so it's just easier, but it's not easy because it's the SEC and those 8 games traditionally are much tougher than a 9-game schedule even in another league.
And some of those schools... see Texas, Bama, Georgia, they usually play now neutral site, or you can call it neutral. Sometimes they play in their backyard, but most of those big SEC schools do play at least one, if not two games against power four opponents. And sometimes big ones, Texas, Ohio State, Bama has played a bunch of teams. So has Georgia. Georgia played Oregon. It's just that two of those games, there's usually one at the beginning of the year. That's Tallahassee JUCO. And then towards the end of the year, they play Sister Mary of the Poor, And so it's two free games. And the SEC's argument is, well, our schedule is so hard. We schedule tough non-cons. So we're keeping this. And it does feel like the rest of the country is basically saying, well, F you then. We're going to do it this way, including Indiana, which basically has said we are not going to play a non-conference game that means anything.
But isn't – I mean, that's not new. I mean, Kansas State had done that for years.
Yes, this is the Kansas State approach.
And it's nowadays with the current postseason format, that actually makes sense.
Well, Dave – that's what I said. Dave Bartu has said all along that in whatever format, it doesn't matter – who you play, it matters how many wins you have.
Exactly. So Indiana, so even though Cignetti is kind of trolling with that comment, I mean, that's the way it should be. That I totally get why a team
it's the smart
would,
way to do it.
Yes, would set up their schedule
but
that way.
Because
they got in the tournament last year.
And this is why, so the Big Ten commissioner came out and said that he wants the four AQs. He's voting for the four automatic qualifiers because he says this will change, hopefully, this sort of approach. That if you give us four qualifiers, teams will be more willing to play tougher teams. That it won't just be about wins and losses. Because let's take Miami, for example. I'll have to look up Miami's schedule. But Miami was a two-loss team last year. And Miami ended up being, I think, one or two spots removed from the college football playoff. And the idea is that if their schedule had been crap, had they had one less loss...
Correct.
Miami's in.
Correct.
And so, like, we need to move, in my opinion, in order for college football to move forward, we need to get beyond that. Because it sucks that we're punishing people for playing real opponents, and we're going to reward teams, Indiana or Kansas State for all those years. You shouldn't be rewarded for ducking people. Now, Miami screwed themselves because they lost to Georgia Tech and they lost their last game of the year to Syracuse. But I don't have a lot of respect when your schedule is Indiana's schedule last year. I don't. So if you play the entire year and you play two teams that are any good and you lose both of those games, I don't think you should get in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, but respect doesn't matter. Like, Indiana doesn't care whether you respect them or not. They got in.
They got in.
They got a shot.
Yep.
Now, they were exposed. Yep. Didn't Notre Dame... Well, yeah, Notre Dame kind of kicked the crap out of
their ass. So look at this. This was Indiana. So Indiana got drubbed by Ohio State, and I mean drubbed. Outside of that, they played Florida International, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington. And some of this is some of these teams had down years. Michigan State, Michigan. These are all bad teams. And then they played Ohio State, and Ohio State drilled them, and then they beat Purdue. This is where some people would say, well, maybe if you had played a real opponent and you had that second loss, you'd be out. And Indiana and old, old Kurt is saying, well, we're not going to take that chance. We'll play Florida International and Western Illinois and Charlotte every year. Screw you. Because our scheduling philosophy last year got us into the playoff.
Well, it's Big Ten Media Day. There are a lot of questions. Did Dan Lanning make headlines with any of his comments today? I don't know. I didn't hear. Did he? Are they maybe there tomorrow or something?
I did not hear any Dan Lanning.
I think he is tomorrow.
Yeah, he must be because
I didn't hear anything.
We'd be reading.
We would
about
have
it.
Heard about it.
Yes, right.
And I also think I heard our favorite morning show, Dirt and Sprague, talking about him talking tomorrow.
Ryan Day spoke today of Ohio State. A lot of questions. We'll wrap up our Big Ten Media Day talk coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Fun fact: you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day, and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Hi.
Yeah, like every time the new voice guy, I hear him, it's like we're doing a movie clip.
A little bit.
It does sound kind of movie trailer-y.
Well, he's an actor. He's a movie guy.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, I like him because...
it's very dramatic.
This is the only radio station he's ever done.
Yeah. He's venturing into
new
territory.
That's cool.
Yeah, so he's venturing into new territory. He's been in Hollywood doing things, you know, like that, but movies and TV shows and stuff. Yeah. And he's an actor. He's been in some... I forget his name, but
his name is Cornell. I don't know his last name, but yeah. Cornell sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. Cornell loves Big Sook. Thinks he's great.
Besties already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Problematic.
Black, yeah. Please. Thank you.
He's great. So Big Ten Media Day is going on. Vegas. And, you know, these media days are kind of stupid.
Well, they're doing it over 3 days. They're really stretching this thing out now.
Yeah. Remember when we used to go to the old Pac-12 media days?
I do!
And it was one long-ass day.
Yeah, now they've just split everything up. But
We'd get up at 6 in the morning, be down there for interview. They'd have it in some hotel in L.A. Mm-hmm. We'd be down there for interviews, car wash-style interviews, from 7 a.m. to, like, 6 p.m., just coach and player and coach and player. God!
Yes, but at the same time, that's all you need is one day. It does not need two, and it sure as hell doesn't need three.
Well, you don't need to interview every coach and player.
No, you don't.
I mean, you just want the interesting ones.
Yes.
Like, how many times did we pass on the Cal players?
Yeah, there was like a Cal O-lineman that would come through, and you're like, yeah, no, we're good here, bud.
Although we did interview Jared Goff.
Right at the very end. He was kind of a throw-in, and little did we know, 2 years later, he'd be the number one overall pick.
And boy, I tell you, was he boring.
Yes, he was. Well, I was watching that quarterback show. Yeah. He just seems kind of boring.
Well, he's a bore.
Yeah.
But
he's got a hot wife.
Yeah, and she, boy.
Can we talk about that?
The Goffs?
Yeah, the Goffs. Well.
Combined brain cells, over, under 40, two. I'm going under.
I'll tell you what Vegas has it at. Let me just state for the record, this isn't for everybody, but. How do I say this?
This is going to be great. This is the first sternly worded email to Dusty. Well, from the FM.
That's why I'm going to be delicate.
I think I know exactly where you're going
here. New listeners.
Sometimes.
They're not going to like
sometimes
this.
The sports wives, the collective sports wives. Oh my God.
What does that mean?
Is there a more obnoxious, self-absorbed, just seemingly brain dead group of individuals that that collectively get together and that if a meteor were to strike, while it would be a tragedy, you're like,
wow,
it's all
that,
right.
That wasn't where I thought you were going.
Yeah, me neither.
I got to be careful.
I mean, to be fair, at least she wasn't just a jersey chaser. She was a model before that. She had her own. She was professionally successful as a hot and not just an influencer.
It's all the same sort of thing. And then they're like, they'll get together and they're like, oh my God, we have important work to do. We have to embroider our player's number on our ass for these jeans. And they're like,
That's in quarterback.
And they act as if, and this goes, and maybe it's just how they come off, but I've seen enough of these shows and the basketball wives shows where they just find me a more annoying collective group than a group of high profile athlete wives.
Sports wives?
Sports wives.
Well, I mean, they're kind of like they have all those Real Housewives shows.
It's just that. It's all the same. With the football.
Yeah, exactly. It's all the same because I feel like that comes from boredom and they really have no, they really don't have any problems, right? Like they're just people who exist. They're set.
Yeah.
They're set.
Their lives are pretty small.
Their lives are set. They're bored. Somebody watches their kids for them. Everybody does everything for them. Everybody sucks up to them because they're married to some high-profile quarterback.
And the story is all the same where we have to pretend they're like, oh, well, we met on a modeling shoot. And I'm like, it was love at first sight. At least like Kirk Cousins' wife is like, he met her before he was Kirk Cousins.
By the way, he's great on that show.
Like Brett Bielema, to take it back, Brett Bielema was at Big Ten Media Day, and he said Vegas holds a special place because that's where he met his wife. And then he's like, that would be the end of that story. It's like just,
you know,
it's a lot of trophy wives that are pretending that they're not trophy wives. And it's just, I don't know. When I watch those things, it sucks the air out of the room. And I'm like, oh my God, just shut up.
So Matt Stafford's wife is like,
oh, she's
this.
Insufferable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so is
got a podcast.
Mahomes' wife is like this.
Yes.
Too. And I think also, if I could add another element to it, I think another part of it is that they get cameras shoved in their face.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they feel like they have to present something.
Well, it indicates to them that they have something of importance to offer. So then they try to manufacture something of importance and there might not be anything.
Bingo.
Yeah,
like bingo.
There's a scene
that there. Right. What Buck just said right there is dead on about Jared Goff's wife, and she's great. I'm sure she's wonderful.
I'm sure she is, and I'm sure Jared Goff loves her for all the right.
Reasons. They're really boring. Like we're talking about the show that's called Quarterback. It's on Netflix. If you watch it, it's kind of interesting. If you like behind the scenes and quarterback. I mean, I do. I think Joe Burrow's kind of interesting. Kirk Cousins is a great personality. He's kind of fun. Yeah. And then Goff and his wife are just a snooze fest. But
there's
we interviewed
There's just
Goff.
A couple of handsome dumbs.
Yeah, they kind of are.
He's a handsome guy, too, and he's a quarterback. He makes a bunch of money. He looks like Ryan Gosling. And she is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue model. And it's just, if you ever wanted the stereotypical, like, Disney quarterback, like the jock in the movie that everyone's like, a quarterback.
In a way, would it be so awesome to be that blissfully unaware? Like, I play sports, you are hot, I am rich, we are great.
There's this scene in there where it was when the Lions were having the really bad year, Goff's first year, and she's like, I just can't go to the game. I've got important work to do. I've got a bikini shoot that I have to go on. By the way, this is all true.
I told you she was successful on her own before Jared.
So she's on the beach in the nothing swimsuit looking amazing. And then someone comes up to her and is like, and it was like their second win of the year to go like 2-16. And someone tells her that they won. And she's like, oh, what?
Doesn't she cry or
fake
cry?
She's like in tears. Like, meanwhile, she's just like her. She's just swinging around in the air. She's like, oh, my God, I'm hot. And we won a game. And I'm like, just.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Can we stop? That.
That's what you get when you're filming them. See, they shouldn't be on camera.
No.
They just don't offer anything. No. And so Buck's exactly right. They're just manufacturing something because the cameras are rolling. So, you know, not everybody's interesting. And that's what we're learning here.
And then you have to get, like, who is it? Tyreek Hill's wife. Remember when that was on there?
Which one?
And they were trying to, she's like, no, he's a changed man. And, you know, they had to play out the big love story. And then it turned out he had, like, six kids with five different women that same year. You're like, The sports wife might be my most annoying group. Of individuals on the planet. If I could pick one, like, concentric circle of hell, like, I had to sit at a table, like a buffet table at some sort of charity event. If you just plop me down in the middle of a bunch of quarterback wives, I think I might just drown my head in the punch bowl. I don't think I could handle it.
And for those asking, yes, he was the one who was featured on Hard Knocks back when he was with the Rams. Yeah. Or maybe it was Lions, but I think it was the Rams.
No, it was the Rams.
It was the Rams back then. Rams.
Jared Goff, he did not know which direction the sun set.
Yeah, he was like taking a helicopter ride for the HBO cameras, and they're like looking out at the distance. He didn't know what direction that was.
But again, he's a beautiful idiot. He's married to a beautiful idiot, and they're rich and beautiful together.
Their lives look great.
It's a great life.
They look great.
I don't need to see her getting Jared Goff's number embroidered on her ass jeans.
And that's what she was doing.
And pretending like that's some sort of monumental task.
I'd support him like no other.
I'd support him no matter what.
Anyway, we interviewed Jared Goff back at Pac-12 Media Day.
Oh, yeah. He
was really boring then, too. And it was the very last interview of the day, and he was about as into it as we were. And then I get home, and the next day we come in for a show. And our boss, Tim McNamara, goes, man, boy, you know, you guys were great yesterday. I heard that Jared Goff interview might have been my favorite. I'm like, yeah, dude.
You didn't listen.
You didn't listen. Yeah. You heard that's the only one you heard. Because if that was your favorite, you're an idiot.
I just like that we were in some sort of standoff. You don't want to be here. We don't want to be here. Whatever.
Let's talk.
Let's,
yeah, he was like waiting for a ride or something. I was like, all right, I'll come on.
Get over here. We had one more segment to fill. And we're just, it turns out you're the number one overall.
That was the Joe Shad year.
You
and Joe Shad.
Yeah. Where I started a rival. And then Stuart Mandel got mad at me, too, because I was making fun of Joe Shad.
All right, back to our Big Ten Media Days discussion. We'll wrap that up next. We also have audio of a pilot casually regaling passengers with the details of their almost untimely deaths. Coming up on 105.1 The Fan.